Let's begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the opening sentences. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. We sing our opening hymn. Please stand for the confession and absolution. Let us make confession of our sins to God, our gracious Heavenly Father. Eternal God, we confess that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. By nature, we are sinful from every beginning of our lives. Through our thoughts, words, and deeds, we continually sin against you. We have lived for ourselves in ways breaking your commands that direct us not to lie, steal, or transgress your holy will. We, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness and indifference, that we may joyfully follow your will and gladly obey your commandments. Graciously forgive our sins and direct us in ways of compassion and love. God promises to hear those who turn to him with repentant hearts. Upon this, your confession, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now may God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. He who calls you is faithful and will do as he promises.
Amen. Amen.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, whose grace attends us all our days, look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Direct our steps into pathways of peace and keep safe our going out and our coming in. Preserve us in your righteousness, and at the last bring us to your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the lessons are read. As we are listening to the lessons today, be listening for the words of light and darkness and blindness.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 14 through 21. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify this law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord.
I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him.
When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me.
Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me, no one cares for my soul.
I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me.
Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me.
The epistle reading today comes to us from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is a rather long gospel reading, but we read it in its entirety because it gives you a much better flavor of the back and forth conversations between all of the characters involved. So the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As he passed by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." And so they said to them, "Well, then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said, 'Go wash and go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. And so again they said to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" The man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." For the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world has begun has it been heard that anyone has their eyes opened of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And one of the angels asked him, "What are you going to do now?" And God said, "I think I'm going to call it a day." Got to think about that one a little bit. We've heard a lot about light and darkness in our recent readings. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about the 3 hours of darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And it was Nicodemus who came to see Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. And when Jesus met the woman at the well, it was in the middle of the day when there was as much light as you could possibly have from the sun. And in the readings today, we speak of light and darkness as well. The blind man in the gospel lived his entire life in darkness. He was unable to see. Well, we don't think too much about darkness today. When you walk into the room, you reach over and flip a light switch, and the light comes on, and the darkness is gone. At our house, we have lights that are set to come on about the time of sunset, and so the darkness really never does set in because the lights begin to come on as it gets darker outside. We live in a world where light is always available. There are street lights and lights in town. Our cars have headlights that allow us to drive. We just don't get a sense of what it means to live in darkness or how dark a room can be if you walk in without being able to hit a light switch. But people in ancient times didn't have that luxury. When it got dark, it got really dark. Travel at night was almost impossible because you had to carry some sort of a torch or a candle or something, and it didn't project light very far. And in those days, light inside the houses came from very dim lamps that were similar to candles. And those candles burned oil, and of course you had to replace the oil and you had to trim the wicks. And when you went from one room to another, that you carried that lamp with you. And I'm sure that that little tiny light, that little tiny lamp, must have cast huge shadows in various parts of the rooms. First century houses had several of these, maybe a dozen or so, and scattered around the house. And so in the evenings, people would have to begin to light those lamps so that they could see as it got darker and darker outside. And I'm told that as they did that, they sang a song that we know today as Joyous Light. If you've ever done the Holden Evening Prayer, you have sung that song. It was a song about Jesus as the light of the world, which is what he says about himself today. We read today about darkness and light in the gospel lesson. Man had been born blind, and he knew nothing but darkness. Jesus, on the other hand, calls himself the light of the world. So as we read this rather long story for a gospel lesson, we see that there is blindness in most of the characters. The only characters who don't demonstrate blindness are Jesus and the blind man himself. The disciples were blinded by their customary assumption that if some tragedy happened to people, it was the result of a sin. And so they asked Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents? What's the sin behind this blindness that the man experiences? And Jesus points out that this man was not blind because of some sin. That's an erroneous assumption, disciples. You guys are blind to the facts. This man was blind, Jesus said, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then once he could see, the friends and neighbors of this formerly blind man began to argue among themselves, well, how could this guy see? It must be somebody else. It couldn't be that same guy that used to live here, the guy that we saw begging all those years. But you see, those people were blinded by doubt and disbelief that this man really could see. And so they take him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees too are blinded. They're blinded by their self-righteousness in keeping the law of Moses. They accuse Jesus of working on the Sabbath just because of the word that is used to describe what he did with he kneaded the clay. They're blinded by the fact that they don't believe that Jesus could be from God, and yet they're unable to explain the miracle that stands before them. They're blinded by their pride in the fact that, well, we follow Moses, and Moses talked to God. They're blinded by their condemnation of the blind man who is, well, after all, he is just a sinner, and you were born in sin. Who are you, blind man, to teach us Pharisees who know and keep the law? And then when the blind man points out the error in their logic, They're blinded by their own arrogant pride, and they throw the man out of the synagogue. And the man's parents were blinded too. They were blinded simply because of their fear of the Pharisees and the reprisal that they might take against them. So, what is it that blinds us today? What is it that keeps us from seeing that light and Jesus as the light of the world? What is it that keeps us in that spiritual blindness that we have been talking about? There's a lot of things in this world that can do that. To mention a few, some people are blinded by loneliness. Some of us are lonely because we live alone. Some of us spend time in the day watching television and not talking to the other person in the room. Some of us spend our time staring at our phones, checking our job assignments or our emails or reading the latest post on Facebook. Some people are blinded by their discontent. We have so much and so many things today that we just never seem to be quite satisfied. I read the story this week of an Ethiopian person who had come to the United States with his wife, and she was working nights in a building that stored cars, parking lot. And the wife probably made about $1,000 a month, and the husband was unemployed. And yet this man who had so little was so grateful for all of the blessings that he had relative to his life in Ethiopia. We have come to expect so much, and yet with so much we are still unhappy. We are blinded by that. Since World War II, the standard of living has increased dramatically, and we are led by advertisers to seek buying stuff. But we can never seem to have enough stuff. Stuff, you see, is a poor source of happiness, but a good source of blindness. Some people are blinded by fear. What if the stock market crashes and my investments are no longer producing income? What if people lose confidence in the financial system and your credit card no longer works and your cash is no longer worth anything? Or what about my health? Will I be an invalid? Will I die in my sleep, or will I linger for months or maybe even years? What will happen if somebody steals my identity? Some people are blinded by a sense of helplessness. Certainly there are forces out there beyond our control. Government regulations can literally take our house away. We're powerless as the economy rises and falls. The environment seems to be changing, and we don't know exactly how that's going to impact us or the world's ability to produce food. It seems like we become more and more suffering from the whim of some force over which we really have no control. Some people are blinded by how they see themselves. We put so much of our self-identity into our own abilities. We perceive that our occupations are what make us who we are. They define our self-worth, and our sense of that self-worth is defined by how much we accomplish in any given day or month, and that's how we're evaluated. Our value seems to be placed on how much we produce. But God has, in fact, created us to be human beings, not human doings. God doesn't give us value based on our earthly accomplishments. We see productivity and independence and getting things done as giving us value. But that's not how God evaluates us. He sees the entirety of our life through a lens of Jesus on the cross. He sees us as an entire life from the time we're a helpless baby until we're a helpless person, perhaps living in a nursing home. He values our lives based on heavenly things and not on earthly values. He knows that there's darkness in this world and that we are subject to that darkness, to that blindness. He knows that we are subject to that spiritual blindness. But Jesus came into this world to shine his light into that darkness, not only that we might see into our own hearts, but he also came so that we might see him as the answer to dealing with our spiritual darkness and the other darknesses of this world. He does not judge us on what we have done, on what we have done in the past, not on what we will do, not what we can do in the future. He sees us as brothers and sisters. He sees us as redeemed. He sees our spiritual blindness, rubs mud in our eyes, and washes that blindness away. He's there to help us every day of our lives if we will only stop and say, Lord, I need your help today. The Pharisees thought they had it all together. They didn't realize how deeply infected by sin they really were. While they adopted an external appearance of seeing, they actually had never faced the darkness that was within their hearts. And they thought they could see, but they were really completely blind to God and his ways. And so Christ came into this world. He came so that those who think that they have spiritual insight may be shown to be blind, and those who do not suppose that they have spiritual insight indeed are the ones who can truly see. So it comes down to this, or actually these two points. Those who are spiritually blind are the ones who do not realize their need for God. And those who receive sight are the ones who sense the brokenness and the darkness in their hearts. We went to a matinee of that movie called The Shack a couple weeks ago. We walked in from a bright sun, and the sun actually was shining that day. We walked into the theater and went from bright sunlight to very dark in a very short period of time. And we found ourselves almost having vertigo because the credits were rolling from the previous showing of that movie. I couldn't tell if the floor was sloping up. I thought it should, but it didn't feel that way. I didn't know if it was sloping down. I felt off balance and not sure which way was up. Was I leaning? Did I need to correct myself? Made me feel a little bit dizzy. And certainly, I was unsure of the surroundings. I'd never been there before. I didn't know, was there a step coming up? And so we kind of had to feel our way along. But then we found the handrail. And we took a hold of that handrail, and suddenly walking was easier, and I could tell which way was up. I had something solid to hang on to. In this life, Jesus is our handrail. He is something solid that we can hang on to. And my prayer is that he will help all of us to see our spiritual blindness in this world and turn our ways toward him. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, and in doing so, we return a portion of what he has given us. We continue with the Passion Tide observance. Reflecting on the ministry of our Lord and his blessed work as our substitute that took him from the waters of the Jordan to the cross of Calvary, we gratefully acknowledge and give thanks for his taking on our sin on that cross. And so we sing, "In the cross of Christ I glory." Please stand for the prayers of the church. Dear friends in Christ, I urge you to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the true teaching of your word and fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously guide us away from our sinful ways, that your gracious name be hallowed and blessed. Lord, in your mercy. God of eternal life, bring all transgressors, those who are blinded by Satan and who succumb to the temptations of the world, to faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, that by that faith they may be saved through your mercy and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we pray for the sick, the shut-ins, the sorrowing, those who are undergoing hardship and challenges, and all who this day are in need of our prayers. We pray especially for your healing hands upon Paula, Dan, Sue, Della, Jerry, Audrey, Carrie, Piper, Norm, and Jacqueline. We pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Della, Fred, Denny, Karen, Weldon, and Marion. Comfort each of these by the presence of the Holy Spirit and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Use us to minister to each of these for whom we pray in their times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on the Sabbath day you rested from all that you accomplished in calling creation into being. Now on this day, send forth your word once again to accomplish your gracious work in our lives. Where your law is needed, let us receive it in faith, knowing that even as our sins are confronted, your gospel heals and restores us in grace. Let that word accomplish your holy purpose to worship you and to be of service and loving toward others. Breathe into us the strength of your holy presence in the world that is coming this week. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Dear Father, we stand in awe of the great love for us and that you moved to send your Son on earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Remind us always that you are our Savior and you have experienced every stage of our existence from the conception to death, that we might have life with you because of this death and resurrection on our behalf. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, of the world in which we live seems to have more and more hate. We pray for the people around the world who are impacted by acts of terrorists. We pray that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones and heal those who are injured. We ask that you would bring to nothing the thoughts and intentions of those who would create fear and trepidation. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all these things, Lord, and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Are there any announcements today? Linda has one.
Good morning. We've again been asked by the Downtown Association to collect diapers for the rescue, help me, Patty.
Well, it's the
Family Relief Nursery. And so they are going to be bringing us a barrel that we can put the diapers in. But until we get that barrel, if you want to bring in a package of diapers, you can put them on the back pew back there. There's already one package back there. They're going to be doing this just through the month of April. So if we can donate, we donated a lot of diapers last year, didn't we, Patty? I can't remember. The biggest size is what they need the most. So Patty and I will be heading this up. And so if you have any questions, we'll try and get a little more information for you. Okay?
Some of you may have noticed coming in the back door that there's a basket there with some bags in it. What I have done, and some of the other ladies, is we have started putting little bags there for Linda when she has someone come while she's at the office and they're wanting help. There's a list of items that we put in the bag. We put in like water and toilet paper and peanut butter and gloves and hand sanitizer and a toothbrush and kind of sort of the same as we're doing out in the front, except these are people that Linda touches their lives daily when they show up. So if you want to help with that, you can either put things in the front or you can look at the list that's in pastor's office of the things we're putting in those sacks. Thank you.
Other announcements? If not, we sing a closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.